Good morning, everybody. You're here with me, Lori the Love Sherpa, on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you're listening to the world. How are you all today? Oh, my goodness gracious. What a life we are living. So we are getting somewhat back to normal around here. They have stopped all the construction outside of my apartment, thank God. The only noise is, you know, the noise of the, I guess it's a lawnmower today. But yeah, it's relatively quiet, which is kind of really kind of nice for a Monday morning, because I woke up, I guess it was about, I woke up around 6 and then went back to sleep for a little while. Woke up again around 8 to the sound of, I guess it was a leaf blower, but it was for like 5 minutes and then it was gone. It was quiet. Up until now, when I just heard the 10 o'clock lawnmower. Apparently they are on a time schedule. Excuse me. My throat is doing much better. It doesn't sound like it, but it is. Actually is. So I'm happy about that. But yeah, this week is feeling, to me, it's feeling very hopeful. And sorry, I'm putting like lip balm on my lips if I sound funny. Getting ready with Lori in the morning. This is what happens. Doing my show and preparing myself for the day. We keep it real here. So I want to welcome you all. We have a Facebook chat in case you're unfamiliar with that. And the way you get over there is by going to your device or your computer. And well, it's noisy over here. I'm going to take you back to where I was. It's much quieter. Yes, as I was saying, go to 12radio.com. And that will take you. I'm going to do it too. So we're both on the same page. We're all on the same page, I should say. Okay. That will take you right over. Whoops, wait a minute. Sorry, I'm trying to do this at the same time as I'm telling you what to do. Okay, that takes you onto a page. You'll see some options on the left. One of them will be chat. Hit chat, and that will take you over into our Facebook page, where you will see my banner if you just scroll down. And if you haven't been in the group before, just join the group. And you will be let in, and then you will be able to chat in the Facebook chat. Just look for my banner, like I said, and you'll see my smiling face and a lovely photo of my name, Lori the Love Sherpa, and two roads. One is a spiritual path and one is the worldly path. In spiritual psychology, my teachers used to call it the goal line and the soul line, which I always loved. And it's true because, you know, soul and spirit is at the heart of who we are. And yet here we are in these very physical bodies. And we're, you know, we have goals and we have things that we want to achieve and desires that we definitely desire. All the things we want to manifest in our life. And I am here to help show you how to do that and tell you how to do that and help you figure out how to do it. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I can help you find your own answers. And that's the whole point of getting guidance from someone like me, who happens to be a natural guide and as a human design projector. That's what I am. Well, that's what I like to do. So if you want to drop some comments or questions in the chat, I would love that. Feel free to do that. And let's go there right now and see Who is here today and who's with me? Okay. So far, I see Tara. Hey, Tara. Good to see you. And Renee. Good to see you too, Renee. So, today, I think about a lot of different things. Not just for my show, but, you know, in life. Just because I'm not an overthinker. I know some people who are. And it boggles my mind how they think. They just, wow. Some of the, I want to say some of the Geminis I know. Excuse me, one second. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of water. Some of the Geminis I know think so much. I don't know how they do it. It's kind of, I don't know. I want to say it's like a skill almost, because their brains are just always, always thinking. And sometimes overthinking is not that good a thing, because, you know, thinking about something can be good, but overthinking it and analyzing it to death, that can make you crazy. And that can just bring up all kinds of ideas and projections that are not really helpful, and are actually kind of harmful sometimes. So, sorry, I lost my train of thought. So I was doing a little bit of thinking, and my mind just kind of wanders sometimes. And so what came to me recently was I was watching The Bachelor of all shows, right? Because they show it, they stream it live, not live, but they stream it on Prime Video. Excuse me, guys. Just have to clear my throat now and then. But they were streaming it. And so I like watching some of the older episodes. And it's so interesting to me, because I like watching shows like that, because I like the interactions between men and women. And I like the interactions between people of all kinds. It's very fascinating to me, because I, as a human design projector, am all about the other person. We all have to look into ourselves and find out about ourselves, but the way that a projector is said to do that is through others. I learn a lot about myself by guiding others. So it does make sense to me that is truth. So I like to watch these shows like The Bachelor, even though, you know, it's kind of like people say it's a guilty pleasure. I just think it's a pleasure, because I don't feel guilty. I don't feel very guilty about much. I'm not the kind of person who does guilt, because if I'm doing something that's making me feel guilty, then I do something about it. It doesn't make sense to me to live with guilt and not try to fix that or alleviate it somehow. Because frankly, if you're guilty about something, you've probably done something that maybe you shouldn't have done. And I'm not saying you should, you know, blame yourself and kick yourself when you're down, but if these feelings are surfacing, there's a reason. And sometimes we feel guilt when there's no reason, you know, it's pre-programming from like childhood wounds. So then we have to look at that too and figure out, okay, is this guilt warranted? Sometimes it's warranted, sometimes it's not. So I don't really do that kind of guilt. I don't do any kind of guilt. Because it's just, it doesn't serve me. And this is me. Everyone's different. But I can understand how in someone's background, you know, they may have been taught a thing that maybe actually doesn't serve them. And later on, when faced with this type of situation, it could induce guilt. And that would be, you know, unnecessary guilt. But that's why we have to heal our childhood wounds, right? Our emotional wounds. Because if we don't, then we're just going to end up feeling guilty and awful, kind of for nothing. And we're just going to be hard on ourselves. And that's where the overthinking comes from. And, you know, we let our minds take over and make outside happenings, like situations that we're involved in, make them mean things that they don't mean. And that really is not helpful to anyone. Because if you're looking at it, if you're involved in a situation of any type and you're making it, you're making something someone else is doing mean something about you, when the other person is just, you know, innocent and doing their own thing and probably not even thinking about you half the time, right? You're going to drive yourself crazy. And I know so many people do this. And it's wild to me because I can see it. And when I look into people's auras and see why they do the things they do and how they feel, and when I know and see these things about who they are and how they operate, I want to shake people sometimes because, and I don't, I try not to anyway. But I literally really want to shake people because I don't want to see you guys suffer and I don't want to suffer. So I know how suffering feels. I have suffered in emotional ways in my life and I don't want to see anybody suffer because it feels like shit. It really does. So this is what I try to impress on all of my clients, all of my friends, anyone who, you know, recognizes my abilities and invites my guidance. These are the things some things you have to deal with in life and some things you really don't. You don't have to deal with other people's stuff. Let other people deal with their stuff. You don't have to. It's not your job to like fix everybody. Anyway, that all came out. I don't know where that came from because that even wasn't my point. But it's important enough that obviously Spirit had me say it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have come through because that's just completely different than what I was about to say about The Bachelor. But it's true, though. It's really, really true. What I was going to say about The Bachelor when I was watching it, I really love watching the interactions between people and especially, you know, interpersonal relationships. I'm all about that. I really, because I'm a projector, I guess, I really love seeing into and feeling into the energy of situations between people. And I can see that, like the women in The Bachelor, and they have The Bachelorette too, where, you know, there are a bunch of guys and one woman. And it's all so fascinating because so many of the contestants, I guess they're called, have this attachment to an outcome, right? Like, I think one of the contestants was saying something like, well, if he's giving this one a rose, then that leaves one less rose that he could be giving me. And I can't help but look at it differently. It's like, well, if he's not for you, then you're not going to get a rose. If you get a rose, great. But if you don't get a rose, it's not a personal attack. This man may not be for you, or this woman may not be for you, you know? And I want to say that in, it works that way in all relationships. If something feels like it's, you're trying your best and everything still isn't working and you've really tried, there's a reason for that. You know, like Kat was just saying on her show, rejection is God's protection, correct? Right? It's true. It really is. So if somebody in your life is not inviting you in or making things easy for you to be with them, or, you know, is actively pushing you away, that's not the person for you. I mean, maybe it was at some point. If you've been in a relationship for a long time and, you know, the relationship has soured and things are not the same. I personally know, you know, I know that our society loves, you know, the idea of marriage and the idea of love lasting forever, which I do too. I love the idea of true love lasting forever. But you know what? True love doesn't always last forever. It can still be true love. You can be with somebody for half your life. And one day, the energy that keeps you together is just not there anymore. And yeah, that's kind of sad, but you know what? It's opening the door for you to make changes so that you can live a happier life. And sometimes it feels hard to do that, to step through that door into your renewed sense of self, a renewed life, an unfamiliar life. But in fact, if you are pushing and feeling resistance and things are not working, I'm not saying don't work on things. You know, if you really want to be with this person, yes, of course, work on things. But the other person has to be willing to work on them too. And if they're not, where does that leave you? So you kind of know, if you really pay attention, when you're meant to be somewhere and when the energy has dissipated and you're no longer supposed to be there. You're supposed to be somewhere better. Excuse me. So this is what a lot of people don't know, that, you know, they have this attachment to some outcome in their life. And the more you attach to an outcome, the more you push away the thing that you want. That's the other part of it. Like, you can want something, that's fine. You know, you can have a desire and you can say to yourself, my God, this would be so lovely. I would love to have this. Wouldn't that be nice? And you can, you know, put steps in place to make things happen. And that's great. But if the thing doesn't happen, then it's not meant to happen. Because whatever's meant to happen is going to happen. So whatever's happening in your life right now, that is what is meant to happen. And you can't always see why. It could look like the most effed up thing in the world happening to you right now. And yet this particular thing may be the pathway to get you to that thing that you want more than anything, that thing that you asked for. Because spirit has many ways of making things happen. And often the way spirit works is to take you through something that looks really weird and bad to get you to the other side so that you'll have the tools and you'll be the person who can stand strongly in that place that you want to be in to get that desire that you ask for. Because you can ask for something, and if you're not ready for it yet, you're not going to get it until you're ready. Excuse me. So spirit is preparing you, often is preparing you, in ways that may seem really strange to you. But spirit knows best, and spirit might just be preparing you by having you go through this difficulty first. But that's what you need to prepare you to be the person who can step into that fulfilled desire that you so want. And that's when it manifests, when you can be the person who can hold that desire. Because you can want something so bad. But spirit knows that if you got it right now, you wouldn't be able to keep it. You wouldn't be able to hold on to it. You wouldn't be able to appreciate it. You wouldn't be able to make the most of it, whatever it is. You know, whether that's love, maybe you're not ready for this particular person who spirit wants to give you, but spirit has to prepare you first to be the person who can step into that role. Perhaps you fell in love with somebody. Let's just say this as an example. Perhaps you were in love. You fell in love with somebody who was not really available to you. Maybe the reason they're not available to you is because you're not the person with all of the attributes that person needs. Not saying there's anything wrong with you, but you need to develop certain attributes in order to be in a relationship with this particular person. Because it could be, and I'm not just saying like physical stuff, although it could be, you know, maybe they do want somebody who's like super fit and you're not, or vice versa. You know, maybe they want somebody with a dad bod and you're like, they think you're too good shape, because that could happen. And it does. I've heard women lately actually say that. They don't like guys who are like too buff. I personally like all kinds of guys. So, but everybody's different, right? So maybe I was actually referring to something more, you know, doing the inner work. I wasn't actually referring to the physical, but that could happen too. But maybe this person really wants someone who is really emotionally mature, right? And maybe you've still got some stuff you need to work on. Like maybe you are too reactive when you get angry, right? Maybe you need to work on that, because that wouldn't fly with this other person that you want, who you fall in love with, or who you have a crush on, you know, because it's hard to be in love with someone when you don't really know them that well. excuse me. But maybe this particular person really wants a steady, secure, emotionally available person, and you react when you get angry. You're not a person who has a regulated nervous system. So that maybe that's what spirit is trying to give you. Spirit is trying to put you through some shit first, so that you can learn to regulate your nervous system, so that you can be the person that other, your love interest, will say, oh, okay, yeah, I see this person's very stable and steady. Now I'm interested, you know? Things happen like that. So that's the whole idea behind why sometimes we get put through our paces before we get the thing we want. And if we don't get the thing we want, then spirit usually has something better in store for us. So that's kind of what I want to say, because everyone gets so attached to the outcome. And it might not be in your best interest, and you might just not see that yet. So that's why it's really important to come into acceptance of whatever is happening in front of you. Just be like, okay, this is what's happening. I may not love it. I may not even like it. I may really hate it, but I can accept it. I can accept that this is what's happening right now, because this is, in fact, what is happening right now. And what are you going to do about it? Because it's happening in front of you right now. And there's not a whole lot you can probably do except say, okay, whatever, and surrender and trust that if you do surrender, that spirit will come in and shift that energy. And things will start to shift and change and get better. And you will see eventually why that crappy thing had to happen. So I hope this is making sense. I'm going to go back to the chat and see if you're all still here with me. I just think this is so important. Everybody gets so freaking attached to an outcome. And I'm standing in my kitchen the other day, literally, you know, kind of attached to an outcome myself. And then it dawned on me, like, so what if, right? God forbid, what if the worst were to happen? Would I die? No, you know what? I'd probably pick myself up and dust myself off and figure some stuff out. I probably would. I'm sure I would, actually, because I've done it. You know, thankfully, I haven't been in any situations that I couldn't handle. And I like to believe that spirit does not put us in situations that we absolutely cannot handle. Some of them may not be easy, but I'm grateful that I've been in situations, all of which I could handle, even the hard stuff. And I want to say that if it boils down to it, you can probably say the same thing. So let me see if I've got you all here. You guys are quiet today, man. I guess you're all listening to me. That's good. Okay. Hey, Ryan. Ryan has a question. Hey, Quelly. Full moon blessing, Floyd. Yeah, Scorpio full moon. That's a serious one. Hey, Shell. I'm glad you're here. See, I'm live. It's really me. Excuse me. Okay, so Ryan's question is, oh, you know what? I forgot to tell you the time and the date today. That's usually the first thing I do, and I completely forgot. Today is Monday, May 12th, 2025, and right now it is 10:30 a.m. Pacific. Okay, now, Ryan says, hi, Lori. 10:10 question. That's his daughter's birth time. Interesting. Okay. You were the one who introduced me to human design, and it was a very natural introduction. Aww. There is often a refusal of the call when encountering any new school of thought. As you know, human design is individualistic and mechanistic in nature, so it's recommended that we experiment with our designs while making decisions and taking action here within the Maya. That's very true. Does spirit have anything to share regarding how and when to introduce someone to human design? I know my strategy as a manifester is to inform. This is more for the collective and other energy types. Thanks. That is a good question. You have such great questions, Ryan. I really appreciate them. And you. Okay. You know, I want to say that I feel like if we're all learning about human design, first you want to learn about your design, no matter what you are, manifestor, generator type, projector, reflector. Because if you learn how you work, then you're going to be able to use your strategy and authority to know when the proper time it is to introduce someone else to human design. And often that comes about very organically. Whenever I've introduced people to human design, it's just always, I mean, I'm a projector, so it's always when I have the invitation to do so, when I can feel someone is open and willing to hear what I have to say and wants to hear what I have to say. And I know that they're willing to, sorry, there's noise. Shut the door. Well, that didn't help at all. Just very noisy out. Apologies, it's very distracting. I feel like I have always just kind of known, because I'm listening to my strategy and my authority for about my splenic sense is very intuitive. So I kind of just feel and know when the right time is. And I also know to wait for the invitation. I wait to be invited to share. As far as manifestors, like you said, your strategy is to inform. So if you have something that's going to help someone, you're going to want to, your strategy is to initiate. But you should inform the person about what you're going to do. Because that's very helpful. Manifestor energy is very forceful and very strong and powerful. So you want to let people know what you're going to do before you do it. And then you do it. Because that's what you're supposed to do. And as far as the generator types, it depends, like I said, on your strategy and authority. If you're a sacral authority, then you want to feel when the right time is, and you'll feel it. If you're an emotional authority, and that can apply to any of the types, you're going to want to wait till you're not riding that emotional wave and that you've come to clarity about when to share something with someone. But I feel like it's not that complicated. I feel like you kind of just can tell, because we're all intuitive. And I feel like if you really have a good, like, opening with the person, that's when you share, you know? Human design is, you know, it's all spirit-led, really, like everything else. And so when we have our spiritual awakenings, we start to open up to learning about all these new ways of learning about who we are. And so when somebody is ready for human design, I mean, I know, I can tell because I'm a projector. And I think that my splenic sense has a lot to do with that. But that's my authority. I'm a splenic authority. So I think if you're following your strategy and especially your authority, you really do know when to introduce this to anyone. Because you'll know that they're ready and you'll feel it in whatever your authority is. Yeah, same thing for reflectors. I mean, it's really the same for everybody. It's just done with a different authority in everyone. Like I said, because we all operate differently, but we all have our method of how we know things, how we feel things, how we're designed to work. I think I need some water. Also, if you're feeling like somebody would be interested in human design, then you're probably right. It's probably a good time to share it with them. And if you're not sure, you can always check in with them and say, hey, you know, this thing I learned has been really helpful. Would you like to hear about it? Just something like that. Even me as a having to wait for the invitation as my strategy, even I can ask if I'm not sure that I have the invitation from someone to share information that I have for them that could help them. If I'm not sure, I can always ask. I can always say, hey, you know, and I'm the one that has to actually have an invitation. I can't foist the information that I know about you on you unless you want it. But even I can ask. So that if I can ask, anybody can ask. I just say, hey, you know, I'm feeling some stuff that I think might help you. Would you like me to share it? And I've asked people that, and they honestly, if I get to that point where I'm asking, 99 times out of 100, they're going to say yes. Or they're going to say, you know, like the other day I did it with my teacher in dance class, and she said, yes, but after class. And I was like, totally fine. And so then I did. I said, do you want to hear this? It was after class. And she said, oh yeah, definitely. And so I shared it with her and she was very receptive. So it just depends. If you know about yourself and you're studying your human design, and you know how you operate in your strategy and your authority, that those are the two most important things, even if you know nothing else, to learn about your human design. And your type, of course. Your type is number one. Because knowing about yourself is going to really help you understand the other types better. And the only shift there is that for the projector is a little bit different because we don't actually... Like, yes, I studied my type and I know about myself. So it's not like I know nothing about projectors. I know a lot. But once we know enough about ourselves, we actually learn as a projector. I learn far more by guiding other people rather than just focusing on myself, because it's like, okay, I know this about myself. Now what do I do with it? And what I'm meant to do is guide. So I need to go guide. I need to go help people. I need to go offer advice. Which is why I was speaking to a friend of mine yesterday. I get so frustrated sometimes when there's no one around to guide. Because it leaves me with, you know, I feel like I'm twiddling my thumbs. It's like, okay, what am I doing with myself here? Because here I am, this projector, wanting and needing, I will say, to help other people and offer answers to questions. And that's why I always say I love your questions here, because I really do. And if I have no one to guide, that puts me in a really uncomfortable place. It really does. But the thing about projectors is that the people who want us to guide them always show up if we allow it. We don't have to go searching for it. We just have to make ourselves, we have to make ourselves known, for one thing. Like, we have to put ourselves out where people know they can find us. And we also simply have to hone our knowledge of the other types so that we understand where people are coming from better. So that's what I do when I am not guiding someone. You know, if I don't have anyone to guide in that particular moment, I will go study something, or I will go out and talk to people and interact, because just interacting with people teaches me things. So it's a constant, for me, a lifetime of just learning about everybody. And in turn, learning about myself through the learning about other people. It's really fascinating. Human design is like one of my favorite subjects. And I'm getting more into it, as you can probably tell, because I'm talking about it a lot on my show. I have not delved into the minutiae of human design, like the gates and all the little numbers and things like that. I haven't done that yet, because that's very, very detailed. And my ADHD brain can only manage so much information at a time. But I will get there, and I will know when I'm ready to get there. That's the great thing about being me. I always know when it's time to do something and when I'm not ready yet. And I follow that, because that's part of how I'm designed. So I don't ever worry. Not to say that I never worry about anything, because sure, I do. But I don't worry about that. I know that what's meant to find me is going to find me when the timing is right, when I'm ready, when spirit thinks I'm ready, and whenever the timing is appropriate, you know? So let's see. I hope that landed, Ryan. I hope that was helpful. And if you have any other questions, I'd love to hear. Okay, let's see. I'm going to go back and refresh the chat. But yeah, I find all this really fascinating. Oh, okay. I see lots more comments. And okay, Ryan says, thanks for answering. It's not necessarily easy for me to understand the generator and manifesting generator energy types, as they both are waiting to respond, and I don't get that. Okay, he says, lovely to hear your take on this subject. I agree that the intro is generally intuitive and impulse-driven, flowy. Yep, it's very, very much so. So yeah, the generator type strategy for generators and manifesting generators is to respond, to have something to respond to. So they're kind of waiting in a way. So you're not entirely wrong about that. that's kind of correct. Waiting to respond. They just need something to respond to, because they don't actually have to wait for anything like the projector. And I know that's just the word you used. I know that's not how you meant it. But their strategy is to respond. So you don't need anything to respond to. So no wonder it's not easy for you to understand, because you can just do whatever the hell you want and initiate whatever you want whenever you want, as long as you're informing the people who are involved and need to know. You can just do your thing. They, however, have to wait to be given something to respond to, literally. Either they need to see something that moves them into action, or they need to be asked a question. And this is why some generators that I work with will be, they won't, like, I'll ask them a question and they won't know the answer. So I have to ask them a more specific question so that they can actually respond. It gives them something to hold on to that they can actually respond to. So if they're making a decision, they sometimes have a hard time, especially if they're like a split definition. Pardon me. Especially if they don't have a single definition, if it's split or, you know, triple split or something like that. They actually need energy from other people to help them make decisions. Whereas someone like me with who is a single definition, I need no help making decisions from anybody. I can make decisions all on my own, for which I'm very grateful. But everyone's different. You know, not everyone works that way. And I didn't know that. When I finally found that out, everything made so much more sense, because I would look at people who did not have a single definition, you know, before I knew about it. And I would just not understand why they had to ask everyone around them for their opinion when they were making a decision. To me, it just seemed like, why would you ask everyone else? Why wouldn't you just figure it out yourself? Like, don't you know? No, they don't know. They don't know because they are not built that way. They need other people to help them make the decisions because they need that. Their aura needs the other person's auric energy to help them decide. So it's really kind of funny. But yeah, that's the generators actually do need something to respond to. Like you need to ask them a question about what they're trying to decide. Even the simple question. Like if they don't know where to go, like where to shop to find the best item that, you know, say they want like the best sweater. I don't know. And they don't know whether to go to Neiman Marcus or Macy's. I mean, obviously you know where to go, but I know what I would suggest in that situation for a good sweater, but you know, maybe they don't want to spend that much. So maybe they're going to go to the lower price store and still get something good, right? They don't always have to pay the most for like a high-end article of clothing to get what they want. So it just depends. That's why you ask them. So I have asked friends of mine who are generator types. I've asked them questions and they've asked me to ask them questions. So I've asked them simply, does it feel better to do this or does it feel better to do this? Or do you want this or do you want this? Do you want to go to Macy's or do you want to go to Neiman Marcus? And they'll get a response if they're a sacral authority. They'll actually get a physical response in their body that will tell them which they prefer. And it's so funny to me how that works. And I know it's funny to you too. And I know why you don't get it. But that's literally how they work. They need to respond to something. And if they have nothing to respond to, sometimes it's hard for them to make a decision. It's really hard. So that's why when I guide generators, I like to try to remember to ask them questions, you know, and give them choices. Because if they don't know, they really don't know. Unless they're given some options. And that's the best way to work with a generator, is to give them some options so that they can respond. I hope that makes sense. But yeah, it's fascinating. Like I said, everybody is so different. And you know, here we are when we come into this world and we don't know anything about human design. And we think everybody's like us, right? Like I did, thinking everyone could just make decisions on their own. Well, no, I found out that's not true. Some people really need a lot more help from other people than say someone like me does. Shell, I'm going back to the Facebook chat. Shell says, 3 cheers to being unattached to outcomes and learning to celebrate my moments. Yep. I tell you, it works a lot better. No, Shell, you didn't miss the long guy. He's outside right now making a whole bunch of noise. I'm just in the bathroom with the door closed, so you can't hear it, hopefully. And Shell says, hi, Serena. Serena says, hello. You guys are funny. Okay, let me refresh the chat one more time. Oh. Let's see. Make sure I didn't miss anybody or anything. So great questions. I really appreciate it. Okay. So Ryan says, what you just described is called an alternative close, classic closing technique in sales, this or that. Oh, well, apparently that's what the generator types need. It really does help them. It really does. But yeah, that makes sense too, an alternative close. But that's something a little different. But you're right. Actually, I've heard of that too. All right. So we have 2 minutes left. So let's see. I don't have my book in front of me, but I'm going to go grab it real quick just so I can read you today's little blurb. Oh, God. It's so noisy out here. Ah. Okay, we're going in the other room again. As soon as I grab this. Okay. Gosh, it is god awfully noisy out there right now. Okay, so today is, what did I say it was? The 12th, right? May 12th, did I say that? Yes, I did. Okay, so we go to May 12th. In the little book, Opening Doors Within, by Aileen Caddy, 365 Daily Meditations from Findhorn, Scotland. And May 12th says, I'm going to read you this, and then I'm going to make way for Serena and the Fresh 55. Okay. Spoken by God and channeled by Aileen Caddy. You cannot know me and walk in my ways and do my will if you do not love me. And you cannot love me unless you love one another. Many souls talk about their love for me, and yet they do not know what it means to love themselves and to love their fellow human beings. The key is always love. And the most important lesson to learn is love. You have to learn to love what you are doing, to love those souls you are with, to love your surroundings, to love where you live, to love the very air you breathe, the very ground you walk upon. Liking something is not enough. You have to love it and love it wholeheartedly. It is good every now and again to take stock of yourself and see how much love there is in you. Take your everyday living and see how much love you are putting into everything you do, say, and think. The more gratitude you have for everything that you have is what's going to bring you what you really, really want. And I'm going to end on that note. Thank you all so much for being here with me today. You've been listening to me, Lori the Love Sherpa, here on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you listen to the world. I love you all so much. Again, I'm so grateful for all of you. Come back and see me again next week. Okay? Bye for now. Have a great week.